night. Can you guys hear all right? I know that we can't because I need to change this back over to program one. And now that's super loud. Okay, sorry, we're having some technical difficulties here, but should all be working. And Liz, can you say hi?
Hello.
Cool, and the levels work. We're a little loud. We can meet your levels. So, would you guys like to introduce yourselves, and then Liz, you can go third.
Sure. So I'm Jacob Keplinger. I'm lead singer, one of the lead singers, and guitarist from Free Rock.
I'm Jackson Keplinger. Jacob and I are brothers, and I play the keys, and I also sing some songs.
And then on the phone.
Hello, and I'm Liz Siegel, and I play bass for Free Rock and also sing on some songs occasionally.
We all sing?
Yeah. Yeah, you all do a lot of things. Do you guys share the songwriting too?
Yeah, a lot of the times, especially on the most recent record. We did a lot of collaboration with it, which was really good. And a lot of our stuff comes from kind of improvised jams that we were just talking about one of our records. So
definitely.
Yeah, a lot of shared songwriting stuff.
Very collaborative.
And before we get into all of that, where can listeners find you?
Spotify, Apple Music, all the basic streaming services. Mm-hmm. YouTube. We got a cool music video we just put out on YouTube you could watch. Basically anywhere you can listen to music, you could find Free Rock.
Fantastic. If you search hard enough. Yeah. And how did you all start playing together? I assume you two, because you're brothers, that...
No, actually.
You would think. You would think.
Liz and I started the band with Liz's cousin back in 2019, and... they left the band recently, and we had Elliot join us on drums. Jackson joined us in 2022.
March 2022.
Yeah.
Playing keys. Jacob asked me to just come into a rehearsal and say, hey, well, you want to come jam with us? And here I am, 2 years later.
The rest was history.
The rest was history, they say.
Yeah, we made I think, 6 records probably with the first lineup, just the trio. And then we made another 5 with Jackson, and then we just released our 12th. Last week, 2 weeks ago, so
that's my 6th.
Yeah.
And so, do you? How do you keep up that kind of creative output of releasing 12 albums in 4 years, and like
untreated ADHD?
Yeah, I was about to say four letters for that ADHD.
But no, I mean we make we'll have a lot of ideas going at the same time. I'll be writing a bunch of stuff, and I'll have like for example, like, oh, here's a disco song. But instead of just throwing the disco song on one of the records with all the other stuff, we say, well, let's save it and make a disco record down the line. And over the course of the years, when you write enough disco songs, you have a disco record. So yeah, you end up getting a lot of records and a lot of output when you do it that way. But
absolutely,
I love making records. You know, we do it all ourselves, so
yeah,
it's fun.
Are there any songs that you've had like kicking around that are that have come out soon or are coming out soon?
Well, we had, Emerald Station, one of the songs on the new record, I wrote during the pandemic in 2020. Wow. And it was kind of like just a little acoustic ballad. Like, there was nothing crazy going on with it. And over the course of the years, it really developed into what it is on the record. But yeah, I mean, we always have songs sitting around. National Park, Free Rock National Park, an album we came out with in 2022, is mostly older tracks that we kind of had in the back catalog for a while and kind of reimagined for that record.
We're getting another caller, which I can't preview. I'm going to have to put them directly on air. So, let's... Hello, caller. You are on air. Please don't swear.
Okay. Hi. I'm here with I Want a Cat. I'm here to load in my equipment.
Yes. Well, I'm sure that they heard you. Hey, Ben. How's it going? It's Max.
How's it going?
Do you guys hear everything? Yeah. Okay. Someone will be down to let you in shortly. I'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Okay. Excellent. Right. Didn't swear.
Yeah, that's good. That's a plus.
My first time coming to the studio is supposed to like meet someone for a tour when I was like a prospective student, and I called in because I was like trying to get in. And then they put me directly on air, and I was like, terrifying. Yeah. Terrifying. Yeah. Anyway, so So ADHD, that's the secret.
Yeah. It's,
okay.
Absolutely.
And don't treat it, you know? If you start treating it, you're going to have less records per year, you know? That's how I see
it. Leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Let it fester. Do its thing.
It also doesn't help when...
Don't even diagnose it.
Yeah.
just it like go with that, I guess.
There's been quite a few times where Jacob's come to me and said, hey, Jackson, I've got this really stupid idea. We're never going to use it. I think it's terrible. Just forget about it. And then he plays it for me, and I come back at him with like, all right, well, let's do it. Let's make it. Let's make the record. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah. Let's just let it go. Let's just do it. And so that's where a lot of that comes from, too, I think.
Are there any albums in particular that sort of process led to?
One song in particular that I'm thinking of right now off of Free Rock National Park was Mirror.
True. I actually have that in my playlist, a song that I wanted to play.
That song started out as a much different song, and then Jacob came to me one day and said, hey, I messed with this thing. I got to change it back. And I was like, oh, well, let me hear it. And he plays it, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. No, that's awesome. He goes, you think so? And I'm like, yeah.
Well, even funny about that song, too, is it was supposed to just, you know the song Her Majesty by the Beatles, the last mm-hmm. song on Abbey Road? We were intending to do something like a hidden track at the very end of the record, which was just one chorus of Mirror, and that was it. But it kind of, I wrote a little thing with it and showed it to Jackson, and now it's on the record. It ended up being the only single from the record, so.
We're getting another caller, so I'm going to see what that's about. Hello, caller. You're on air. Please don't swear.
I'm not going to swear.
Okay. Is it Ben again?
Hi, this is Nick. I'm a fan of Free Rock.
Oh, thank you for calling me.
The band.
Hi, Nick.
How's it going, Jacob?
So, Nick Burchard.
This is Nick. He's our artist. He does all of the artwork for most of our records. He directed the music video we just did for Emerald Station. Nice to see you, Nick. How you doing?
Doing good. Like I said, I was just calling in to say hi, listening to you guys on the radio. Everybody go watch the Emerald Station video and listen to the brand new album, because Free Rock is the best.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks for calling in. I really like the trains, and your comic series is very fun. Do you want to plug your Instagram?
Talk about Vulture Culture.
Vulture Culture.
This is about Free Rock, but if people want to see some of the Free Rock artwork, I have some behind-the-scenes stuff on my Instagram, Tiny Viking Designs.
Tiny Viking Designs.
Tiny Viking Designs.
Tiny Viking Designs. Liz, do you want to chime
Tiny
in, too?
Viking.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
All right, I'll see
I
you
couldn't
again.
Hear Nick at all. Like, not even... I'm just like, yeah, I love Nick.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
poor
the best
Liz.
Artist.
It's so complicated. So many interweaving wires and disconnected wires. Thank you for calling in, Nick.
Yeah.
See ya.
Bye, Nick.
All right. Cool. 2 callers in like 3 minutes. That's a new record. If you have any questions for the band or you want to say hi, you can call into it 855-915-9636.
We're here.
Just don't call in and say something obscene. That would suck. Don't
and
do it.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah.
It's not very nice.
All right, so songwriting process, that's kind of like ADHD. Do you just like...
I'm always writing.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the voice memo is on my phone and out of control, you know? There's always something going on. Half the time I'm driving to work and I'm just humming random stuff to myself, and I'll record the voice memos, and then a year later it's, oh, remember that voice memo I recorded? And I go down and sit down and write a song with it. So, yeah, it kind of comes from everywhere. You know, there's inspiration from music, obviously, but sometimes I'll watch a movie and think, oh my God, I want to make a song like that, that has that feeling to it. So, yeah, it can come from anywhere. So I think that's probably also why we have so much material at this point.
Sometimes it's frustrating, the rate that Jacob can just put out songs. It's pretty wild sometimes when he's just like, oh yeah, I wrote these 12 songs for this. Here, listen. I'm like, okay, awesome.
So like, where did this come from?
Yeah, it isn't guilty. He also, I wrote my first song for the new album, Free Rock Express, Trippin' on Love, and Jacob helped a ton with that. I mean, I wrote the song, but I
definitely pushed you.
Jacob pushed me a lot. He gave me some help. He was like, hey, maybe this would sound good here, maybe this would sound good here, and it's nice.
Which song?
Trippin' on Love.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites on the
Jacob
album, too.
Jacob helped me a lot with that.
Yeah. But, yeah, we kind of decided at the beginning of this record process, too. We said we wanted it to be super collaborative. I wanted Liz to have a lot of songs on the record. I wanted Jackson to have some songs on the record. And I know Jackson and I had written some stuff together before, but nothing at this level, especially with Jackson singing lead vocals. So that was a big hill to get over that I'm really happy we did, because now, yeah, it just feels very collaborative.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Now, if you have multiple people with undiagnosed or diagnosed ADHD, you can really, like...
Especially if they're related.
We're hitting our stride pretty soon.
It's true, though, like, when you're, like, in this band for so long, especially, like, with Jacob, who I feel like has the most ADHD out of all of us here, you know, it's, like, there is, like, I remember me, at least, I was like, ooh, I don't know if I got songs. And I remembered one day when we were doing National Park, I showed him Out of My Mind, which was like the first song I've ever like written myself, recorded my, you know, with these guys. And, you know, it was really an anxiety experience because you're like, hey, you're opening yourself up here to your friends. And it was really great, really rewarding, you know, and it just emboldens you to make more, for sure.
And you can listen to that song on our 10th album, Real Life, which came out in 2023.
It's true.
Yeah. And I will say, if anyone's listening and you want to dive into Free Rock, absolutely start with the new one because it came out on the 22nd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, very recently.
A week and a half ago. Listen to that one because it is so fresh. And then pick any other album because they are all fantastic albums.
I appreciate that.
Aww. Yeah, this latest one is, I feel really good about this one. I feel like there's a lot of joy in making it, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And it really sounds very polished too.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It came together nicely.
I was saying to Jacob in the car on the way over here that for this album we spent a lot of time. We gave every song the proper tender love and care that it needed. Maybe we didn't overlook anything. We said, all right, let's take this song and let's pull it apart and let's all learn it and let's then move on to the next song, which I think helped a lot.
Yeah, I mean, if we basically did one song per 4-hour session for this record. We got a little more efficient towards the end, I think, with the last couple of sessions, but for the most part, if a song didn't feel right, we didn't want to fix it in post. We didn't want to like splice together a bunch of stuff if we didn't have to. We really wanted to nail the take in the room. So that was the driving force. And I think it probably came out tighter than a lot of our records before, but I'm pretty proud of our whole discography, honestly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's been fun.
I think with this one, I know he's not here, but I'd like to credit Elliot a little bit with that, because I think a lot of what this came from in terms of picking the songs apart was having a new drummer come in and say, hey, I have to learn all your songs. Let's go really slow. True. And so I think by doing that, learning songs we already had for gigs, and then we said, all right, let's dive into this album. We said, well, let's just learn it the same way. Really slow, one piece at a time, put it together, and just be really meticulous about it.
It made us a better band, for sure.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Important to all be able to jam together and learn together.
We love you, Elliot.
Elliot's the man.
And so we were talking about one of your albums, Buford's Revenge. And I will be asking who King Buford is in a moment, but I'm also curious about how your creative process varies from album to album. That one you said stands out because you created that as like a jam when you had extra studio time.
Yeah, so we've done that before, but we never to this level. When we were recording Northern Terrace, which is an album we came out with in 2022, we had a little bit of extra time at the end of the last session for that. And during that session, we couldn't decide, should we do a free jam or should we try to do one more take of the last song on that record, which was called In My Nature? And with the last 30 minutes, Liz suggested that we just do a continuous take of In My Nature into a free jam and just kind of jam out the last 30 minutes of the session. So we did. And ultimately, those last 30 minutes became our album Milk, which came out in 2022 also, which is just a complete free jam. And that really kind of spawned the idea, I think, for Buford's Revenge, because a year later-ish, we recorded Dirty Disco in the same room. And on the last day, we had recorded the song Whole Hot Summer, and we had a couple hours of free time. So we said, let's do another free jam, another Milk-type record. And instead of just releasing it as a standalone kind of free jam instrumental record, I got kind of carried away in the overdubs and decided to write words for the whole thing and layer lots of additional guitars and synthesizers and every instrument I could put my hands on.
That was on Milk, yeah.
So Buford and Milk were both kind of produced similarly, like, or Buford's Revenge and Milk were both produced similarly like that, but Buford's Revenge definitely went to the next level with all the vocals and the storyline and the whole kind of prog rock influence.
And you said that you can talk about that extensively, so before we do, caller, are you still there?
Yeah, hi.
Hello, how's it going?
Hey, my name's Kian. I'm calling out of Medford. Shout out Medford. Shout out Tufts. Yeah, big fan of Free Rock. So,
awesome.
Yeah, shout out Duds Dungeon.
Duds Dungeon rules. Oh, yeah. We love Duds Dungeon.
Love them there.
Yep. Yes, I mean.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You can speak.
Oh, no. Go for it.
Well, we had a few questions, but it can wait.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, like, Like, yeah, I actually found out about you guys through Dud's Dungeon.
Yeah.
Dud's Dungeon is a DIY venue and also label.
Yeah.
And that's their big thing. They have YouTube series. Very cool. Bunch of you guys have a live recording with them.
I actually do all of the mixing and sound for those YouTube series videos too, so you should definitely go check those out. Absolutely. Total unbiased opinion from me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dud's Dungeon, they're the best. We love them. They've done so much for us as a band. Just helping us get where we need to go, and we help them where they want to go, and it's a lot of fun. It's a really good community that they've built.
Yeah, they gave us a really good, really great platform to kind of just explore and try new stuff. Mm-hmm. We probably got so experimental with the records that we started to release because we knew we had at least a small audience that would accept them for what they were, and that was really nice. Right. So that's definitely a big part of the DNA of our band now.
Absolutely. And so
it's such a friendly space to like really wonderful people to be around all the time.
Absolutely.
And they come out to every day. They bring a crowd. Like, you know, anytime they have a show or they book a show, they bring a crowd. It's amazing, really.
Yeah, it seems like a really cool community. And yeah, I was training new DJs and I was looking for train songs. And the person who runs Dud's Dungeon reached out and was like, "Oh, you have to listen to these guys. They just released a song like 2 weeks ago. It's about trains." I was like, "Oh, this is perfect."
We do love our trains on this record.
Yes, yes. And so, was it Keenan?
Kian.
Did you say that you had a couple questions for the band?
Yeah. To start off, what's your favorite song on Free Rock Express?
Oh God, Jackson, you go first.
My favorite song is I don't know.
Come on,
it's Brock Sonic. I think I shouldn't beat around the bush. It's Brock Sonic. It's Liz's masterpiece. I think it's a great song. I think it's my favorite song. Since the day she showed it to us and said, "I have this idea," that's been my favorite song on the record.
Yeah, for sure. I also do love Brock Sonic, but I think I'm gonna be slightly more partial. I do love Seeing Green. We never really had a real ballad in Free Rock before, and this song kind of felt like our chance to take a slower song and kind of do some cool stuff with it. So I'm really proud of how that song came out, too. Mm-hmm. Liz?
Yeah, that one's a tricky one for me, because I'm very between two, and it's Trippin' on Love or Seeing Green. Honestly, like, I loved learning Seeing Green and, like, playing Seeing Green, but when I finally heard the like final mix of it, I was like, wow, this is an amazing song. I love this. But Trippin' is just really fun to play. I mean, not that Seeing isn't fun to play, but Trippin' is just a groove, you know. Love Trippin'.
Yeah, Trippin' on Love's great. That's Jackson's debut we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Kian, what else did you have for us?
So What are you guys listening to right now? Like, who are your favorite artists? Are there any good songs?
Here we go.
All right. Well, I'll start. I've been really... One of the records I've been really into is 3D Country by Geese, which is something that came out last year. And I found out about them because me and Nick, who was on here earlier, and some other buddies, were going down to see King Gizzard in New York City in August. And opening for them is Geese. So I got, you know, just by knowing that, I wanted to listen to that record. So that's been an album I've listened to a bunch, probably the one I'll say the most. But Jackson, what about you?
I've been listening to a lot. I've been in a real jazz kick lately.
Yeah.
I know we were talking about Flood, live album by Herbie Hancock. It's
amazing album.
It's so good. I listened to it for the first time fully through today, and I loved it so much. My listening is all over the place though, because I also was talking about Pink Floyd earlier with whoever too. So
yeah. Liz?
Is the question the favorite album right now, or
yes? Yeah, I forgot that you can't hear the caller. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. No, I'm like deciphering from like context. Well, all right. Well, lately I've been listening to a lot of like Jerry Reed stuff. I like, there's this live album he put out. It's literally called Live! ! I've never was a country person before, and I listened to Guitar Man. I saw it on Instagram, and I was like, whoa, this is a banger. And now I have that on repeat all the time. It's just so fun to listen to. There's like so much energy in the album. So that's what I've been listening to. And Wolf Peck. I got out of my Wolf Peck kick for a while, and I'm kind of back in Wolf Peck now with the new releases that Jack put out. My friend Jack.
All of our friends, of course, yes.
Yeah, that's probably all I got for questions. Oh, sorry, was there any more?
Oh, no.
Favorite songs or artists?
No.
As a radio DJ, I'm not allowed to say my favorite songs and artists. No. Just kidding, of course, but it's not about me anyway.
Well, anyways, I just wanted to say a big thank you to you guys. You guys are making music like nobody's making right now. It's a very unique sound, you know, a very voluptuous sound. No one's doing it like you guys. It's really cool to see free rock out there again.
You're going to make me cry on the radio. Stop it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night. Absolutely.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I didn't hear you, but thank you.
So nothing but good things. Nothing but good things, Liz.
That's so sweet.
All right. I definitely am. I've never had three callers in an hour. Like, I think two was a record. So that's pretty cool, you guys. Let's see. We left off at King Buford. Who is King Buford?
I'll let Jacob take that one.
Yeah. And then after that, we can take a short break, listen to a couple songs.
We're actually working on a record right now, which is kind of the big focus of King Buford. But during COVID, I wrote a bunch of... Or maybe I should take a step back. During COVID, Jackson and I made a Minecraft world. And we just... It was just something to pass the time. But we ended up making this huge map that was connected by all these rails, you know, you could ride around. So that was cool. A year later, when I was writing a bunch of random music, because that's what I do, I started writing songs kind of that took place in this map, in this kind of fantastical world that we made. And the driving force behind it was this evil dictator cow who rules over the whole place named Buford. And he's the king, and he's the son of the god of that world. And we've really just kind of found ways to tie a lot of the random free rock fantasy songs into this lore, so it's kind of built onto a life of its own, and especially with the album Buford's Revenge, and then with the next album we're going to release, there's a pretty focused narrative that we've got in that world now. So it's a lot of fun. It's just kind of a excuse for me to write stuff. Mm-hmm.
There's but all sorts
pretty
of
pretty extensive
in the
lore to this Buford. There's a lot
going on.
I've read a lot.
we've got songs like Emerald Station kind of ties into a lot of that lore. Loosely, but you know, song Fool's Breath, there's a song that ties into it. It's all over the catalog, so it's fun.
Yeah. Do you guys still play on that world?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because
it's still there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, oh, you mean the Minecraft world?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Specifically.
It still exists.
We don't play it. I mean,
I haven't been into that in a couple years, I will
you
say.
Haven't? I don't
but
have it.
I do have it on my Xbox still. It does exist. Honestly, admittedly, been out of a Minecraft phase the last little bit, but, you know.
Me too.
It'll come around, I'm sure.
It comes in two-week waves.
You get that two-week addiction where you just can't stop playing it. And then
you get one.
I don't want to play this game anymore.
Yeah.
And then you forget about it for a year, mm-hmm. and then it comes back again.
For me, at least, I got like one YouTube video, and I'm like, wow, that looks really fun. I should start playing Minecraft again.
One Instagram reel, it just sends you for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've been out of Minecraft for so long, but my nephew... He like loves Minecraft. He's so like he's like, come on, let's play. I'm like, all right. So we play a lot, which that's fun. I have not done a Minecraft world in so long though, aside from that.
Yeah. Well, with that, let's take a quick little siesta. I'm going to play a song off of your very first album.
Okay.
And then we can talk about it a bit afterwards if you guys would like.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Or we can just go right by it.
No, I'm happy to talk about it. Let's do it.
All right, here's Bongo.
Bongo.
We'll be right back.
right, that was just Bongo by Free Rock. So tell me a bit about that song.
Well, that's off our first record. It's the third song. So actually, it's funny because this also does kind of tie a little bit into the King Buford stuff. So that whole first record, for some reason, we decided to make kind of a concept album about a character named Rock, who is running from the mafia, essentially, his family. And he escapes to the desert and finds a portal, and that's kind of where that goes. And so we tie that into the King Buford stuff, where he shows up and goes off to fight King Buford in the other world. But
interesting fact about this song. So this song, this is well before I was in the band. I believe I was still in high school.
It was January of 2020.
January of 2020. Song. So I'm still in high school at this point. And this is after you came home from Tennessee. So he would talk to me all the time about, you know, his ideas he was having, what songs they were putting together. And he goes, you know, I really want a trumpet solo on a song. And I was like, well, I mean, I'm learning how to improvise. I'm playing trumpet. You know, he goes, do you want to play a trumpet solo on this song? And I was like, okay, sure. And that's like one of the last times I've played trumpet. So because when COVID hit, they just kind of shut everything down. That was my last year of high school. Mm. Haven't touched it since. I played it once at a funeral.
Yeah.
But other than that, that's the last time I played my trumpet was to record Bongo. And I, at that point, I never had any thought that I was going to be in the band ever. So it's a joke we make actually all the time that actually was my first album.
Mm-hmm. The first one?
Been there since the start.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it was meant to be.
That's right.
Yeah.
I may have been 17, but I was still there.
Yeah. For those listening, you can probably hear that Free Rock, despite having 12 albums, you've definitely stayed consistent. You've stayed true to your sound. And what genre would you guys say you are?
Free Rock.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, I would say if you're gonna pick a regular genre, Jackson. I think psychedelic rock probably is the best umbrella.
It's probably the most encompassing.
But yeah. I would make an argument for free rock only because the band name is a play on free jazz. Mm-hmm. That album by Ornette Coleman was super influential to me and to kind of the way I approached making records and playing and all of it, so it was kind of an inside joke for a while. And, you know, we're improvising in rock music. It's free rock. But eventually it became a band name and a real thing. So it's named after a genre. So I would say you could make the argument for that for sure.
Well, I do have a couple more questions about that, but we do have another caller. Okay. So caller, you're now on air. Please don't swear. Oh, did we lose the caller? We lost the caller. Well, if you are still listening, feel free to call back.
Next time.
Yes. Let's see, where were we? We were talking about...
Ornette Coleman.
Yes.
Yeah, Free Rock.
Yeah, Free Rock.
The band name.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the idea of improvising in the context of a rock band, mm-hmm. I think, is what spawned the idea of Free Rock being the encompassing band title. It was the album title before it was the band title, but...
It wasn't the band title until 2022, because it was the Free Rock Trio.
Right.
Well, the caller seems to be back, so hello, you're now on air. Can you hear us?
That is all my bad. I panicked because I'm listening to the radio, and I was like, oh, is this the right station?
Oh, my God.
My name's
another
Evan.
Call?
I come from Northwest Mass. Jacob, I'm here to reveal a dirty secret. Stole all
the
inspiration from the group chat that he has with us.
It's true.
It's truly a shocking thing, but I just want to say, really proud of like Free Rock on this album. Like, it took me a while to get into Jacob's nagging and listen to him. But now I'm going through the albums one by one when I'm working, and I mean, there's a list coming to surprise him.
I look forward to it.
Mm-hmm. And caller number two, you are also on air. If you would like to say hello.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm a huge Free Rock fan. Just wanted to say that Jacob is a genius songwriter. The whole band really are, for that matter. Liz is an incredible bassist. I mean, Rocksonic is brilliant. And Jackson does a great Mickey Mouse impression.
It's true. Jackson does do a great Mickey Mouse impression.
I do.
Yeah.
Can you read a PSA in a Mickey Mouse voice at some point in this hour?
Maybe.
Maybe. We lost Matt.
See you real soon. Thank you for calling in.
Oh, boy. He also knows Jacob and follows the same message in life, you know? More or less, he's in the group. So he got confused because we called at the same time, and he wasn't going to say it, but I'll say it. Anyway, it's a pleasure meeting at least two other members of Free Rock. You guys just kill it out there. Looking forward to all the new stuff. Now I'm going to go laugh at Matt for not being strong enough to say what he was supposed to. Love you guys. You're doing great work.
Bye. I'll see you guys later. Thank you.
Have a good night. All right. Yeah, nice. I mean, it's
friends of mine. Yeah.
A dedicated fan base, you know? Yeah. Yeah, thank you all for tuning in and listening and calling in. I love audience participation.
This is great.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's talk about live, or yeah, so we were talking about your genre. Are there any specific bands that have influenced your sound more than the rest?
Yeah, for sure. I think probably more, we get sometimes influenced a lot, especially by their work ethic, by King Gizzard. I don't know if our sound always aligns necessarily with what they're doing, but we definitely, like, the ability that they have to put out the amount of records that they do is super inspiring for me. Every time they put out a record, it just makes me want to work. Every time I hear their music, it makes me want to work on something and get something going. So they're a huge influence. And I think just in general, you know,
I also think, at least for me, I think a lot of the big influence does come from the Grateful Dead.
Absolutely.
I think.
And sound-wise, too.
I think all of us kind of take inspiration from you know, the kind of what they started musically. I also think a lot of just names that come to mind are Rush, Yes, bands like that. A lot of prog rock stuff, really. Pink Floyd.
The Aristocrats. Like that, really. The Aristocrats and Liquid Tension Experiment are two, like, kind of improvised. Mm-hmm. Closer to more metal, jazz metal stuff, but that's really inspiring to me. Really fun stuff to listen to and kind of gets me on my feet.
There's definitely some Steely Dan inspo too.
Absolutely. Love Steely Dan. I was saying, we played our Free Rock Express release show on the 22nd, and I think it's probably the first time we had Steely Dan being played as an encore song in a basement. So that was cool. love hearing Steely Dan in a basement. That's always fun, so...
That was cool. That was the first time we ever, like, finished a show and people were like, encore, come on.
It was scary. It's scary when you got a big room full of people yelling at you, telling you to play one more song when you're tired and you want to go home.
As soon as that happened, Liz and I both looked at each other and said, Peg? And we both looked at Jacob and said, Peg? And he's like, no, we can't play Peg. We're not playing Peg right now. And then I started playing it. And
Elliot joined right in.
We played Peg. And we played Peg. It was a good time.
Yeah. It was very cool.
That was fun. It was very memorable. Fun time.
Yeah. So I want to ask you guys about live, because Grateful Dead's another band that, like, they're known for their live energy. And I've only had the pleasure of seeing you guys live once, but you did mention Yes, and I wanted to ask about the intro to the song Ida in the Hills.
Yep.
Yes.
Is Siberian Katru, right?
Sounds, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Because I heard that and I was like, oh, what song is that? And then you did the riff again at the end. And yeah, so that's totally why I played it from. In the first hour.
We have done motifs like that before, like, there's a really good example on the new record in the song called Pipe Dream. We play the Mario Underground riff right after the first chorus and the second chorus, and then it's kind of the basis for the extended jam at the end of the track. But yeah, I think it's a lot of fun to see what you can get away with without getting sued, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Free Rock 2 with Brazil.
Yeah, that's Rio. True. In the middle of the song Brazil 68, which is the second song on another album we released in 2023 called Free Rock 2, we quote, just for one quick phrase, the song Rio by the Doobie Brothers, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Great. From a great record called Taking It to the Streets.
You also mentioned Turn It Loose and Pipe Dream.
Yeah, and all from the same record. Yeah.
No, I've always been a big fan of motifs, and it's really fun when they're kind of hidden and you need to, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm one of my favorite all-time songs is America by Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, when they throw in the bit from, like, West Side Stories, America.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Like, oh, that's neat. Yeah.
That's some late stage Yes, too.
Yeah.
That's deep cut.
Yeah.
Well, not really. I guess it was a big hit, but...
But, you know, it's
deep cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, oh, what is it? They have another... or it might just be a Wakeman song where he's referencing... some song for another band that he was playing in, which will come to me in a bit. It was just like one Oh, it was Bus Stop by the Hollies.
Oh, okay, I don't know about that. Yeah.
Also fun. I don't know which song he references it in, but every time I hear it, I'm like, oh my god, it's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've heard Yes do that before in their stuff, in their songs. Like I know there's a song later in their discography where they quote one of the big riffs from I See All Good People.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember what song it is. I think it's something on maybe Going for the One or.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Around that time. But I know there's another song that quotes that, which is really cool. And yeah. I've heard him do that before. And that's something we like to do all the time. Like
we do it to our own songs.
There's maybe mm-hmm. three songs on Fear Rock Express, probably more than I'm forgetting about, that have one of the jams from Pipe Dream within the guitar solo. Just like one little bop, you know, a little bar play. Yeah. We
Or even going back on Free Rock National Park, the second song, Everybody Wants to Be Me. A lot of times, almost every time when we play that song live, we pair it with a song from Northern Terrace, On the Border. Very similar in style. And we just, the two melodies at the end of those, we just kind of interchange those.
And it's on the record.
It's on the record of, on the song Everybody Wants to Be Me. I said to Jake, I was like, why don't we do the On the Border riff just one time right at the end there, just nice in the background, so people that hear it will go, wait. Did I recognize that?
Well, Pipe Dream does that too. We trade fours in the end, and you hear Liz play the On the Border bass line for a bar. You hear me play the Eyelid, another song of ours, lead line for one bar. So
I play Safari in that one sometimes.
Yep, true. Yeah,
we motifs are everywhere in our music. We do it all the time. It's very fun.
Yeah, now I feel fun. Like we're trying to squeeze that Pipe Dream riff like in any free rock song.
Yeah, I know. It's like a challenge. We'll play anything. We were playing Wobble from the first record, and it's a challenge of mine. I'm like, can I squeeze da 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 into this song? So, yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah, and so yeah, so playing live, how do you change your approach when you're playing live versus playing to record in the studio?
We don't.
We try not to.
Most of our studio recordings, with the exception of two records, are all recorded live. Full band in the same room. I try to get into the same mindset for both studio and live performances, honestly.
Yeah, I'm the same way. A lot of it is just if I keep the mindset the same, because I think it's natural to be more comfortable in a studio setting when, you know, it's just, you know, the four musicians, band, it's just us. Jacob does our mixing. Jacob's our engineer. It's not like we don't even have an engineer sitting in the other room listening to us. It's like,
we're the only
you
ones.
Know, it's just for us. And I think the more you let yourself think about the fact, oh, I'm on a stage, oh, there's a bunch of people listening to me, the more you might think about what you're playing more. And I've always thought that the less I'm thinking, sometimes the better I'm playing.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when we first started playing live at all back in like 2019. 2020. You know, we were, you know, definitely not accustomed to playing live, you know, because it was the first time we ever played, and we kind of played it like we were in a rehearsal or in a recording. We kind of just faced each other and jammed, you know, tried to not even think about it, really.
That's still true to this day. I mean, we still basically set up in a horseshoe for as many shows as we possibly can.
Yeah, we almost never have, you know, someone front and center. It's a lot of our most... comfortable setup is just in a horseshoe where we can all see each other and we can all kind of talk to each other while we're playing through the music.
I like the idea of our live show kind of emulating a studio session more than the studio session emulating the live show, if that makes sense. Like,
it more feels like, rather than us standing on a stage playing at you, it almost feels like you're sitting in the studio playing with us.
Like, listen, yeah, like
you're part of it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I think that's something that really defines a good live act. You know, just being able to, you know, some people, when they get on stage, they're just like playing it to get through their songs. And you were interacting with the crowd.
Well, there's that too. And I also think the live is just such a fun, I don't think any song should really be performed the same way twice. Like if I'm going to see a band more than once, I don't want to see the same song performed the same way, because I don't know. I think part of the beauty of live performance, and one of the things that you really can only do in live performance, is have a unique experience with the crowd, with improvisation, with taking a song that already kind of exists in one way on the album and taking a new snapshot of it for that moment and kind of taking how you feel. So,
yeah,
I mean,
that's an ideal that I also have, but much earlier in my life, in my middle school, in my high school, my band director was our dad. So he started me on my musical journey, really. And one of the things he used to tell me all the time when we would prepare for a concert, he would say, just remember, when you're doing a live performance, it only happens once. You're never going to hear it the same way again.
Yeah.
And even with in a concert band setting where you're meant to try to play it exactly the same, he still would get that point across of it's not going to be the same. You hit the live performance, it only happens once. I think that's just been something that's been ingrained in me for so long.
For sure.
Yeah. Do you guys have any performances lined up coming up?
Yeah, our next show is actually going to be really fun. We're doing an Earth Day cleanup with Dud's Dungeon. Liz, do you have the poster prepared?
It is West Augusta. There it is. I think it's the West Augusta Park.
Yeah.
Yes. Called.
But we do a yearly park cleanup, basically, where, you know,
it's for Earth Day. Everybody gets out and, you know, we get rakes, we get whatever we need, and we just clean it up and make it look nice. And once again, with Dud's Dungeon, they do so much, not just for the music community, but for the community in general. I mean, yeah. They're so active in the community. It's they're people you really feel proud to be associated with. It's awesome.
Yeah. So that's on April 20th. So that's coming up soon. Mm-hmm. We're going to be playing two sets that day. So those are my favorite kind of shows. We get to really stretch out. You know, it's going to be outside. I think we're going to try to film. We're definitely going to record the whole thing. I'm not sure about filming, but we'll see what we do. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to that.
Be a good time.
Yeah, and you guys also mentioned that you're working on another album.
We are.
Do you have any details that you want to divulge?
Well, I can say it's really hard and we're struggling. No, we're diving into it. It's definitely probably the most ambitious record we've tackled to date. It's something that has kind of been on my radar for...
You've been talking to me about it since
the band was conceived.
Absolutely.
This idea of making a really, really considered progressive rock album with kind of themes of power metal, heavy metal stuff, but really leaning into those King Crimson Liquid Tension Experiment influences, I think is something we wanted to do. So we're finally tackling it. It's got a really, really focused narrative following the rock character and the King Buford character. It's crazy. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll see if we can do it.
Super cool.
We've officially begun, haven't we? We did track
bass already for one song. So. Yeah. We're on our way.
That's
fantastic.
True.
Very exciting.
Very focused. It seems like a very focused album. I'm very excited for when this is... Not excited. I don't want to rush it along. I'm just excited to have all these songs to play live. I feel like it'll be really cool to just do this live.
Yeah, add them to the lineup.
Absolutely.
Do you guys have a favorite song to perform live?
We probably have different ones. Liz, you want to start?
Tripping right now.
Tripping on Love?
Mm.
That's a fun one. I get to play sitar on that song, so I can't complain.
Yeah, I feel like it's just a really funky groove. I like hearing Jackson sing. It's like, you know, it's a beautiful song, I think. I like the bass part. I mean, I'm you know, biased, but I like the bass part. I like playing that bass part.
Yeah.
And on that, is that an actual sitar or is that a pedal?
So no, it's Dan Electro makes like a sitar electric guitar hybrid thing. Cool. So it plays like an electric guitar, it's tuned like an electric guitar, but the bridge is extended out a bit so the strings rest along this kind of matte platform and it creates the effect of the sitar sound.
Oh yeah.
So I have one of those. I bought it at Upfront Music up in Bellingham and I just it was a total impulse purchase, but absolutely worth it. I use it across the whole record, so, and a lot on the upcoming record too that we're working on. So
yeah, I think that we should probably listen to a little bit of that just because it is a very cool very cool sound. Let's put that on. We'll be back in a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, there it goes.
Tripping on you.
Yeah, I caught that.
What was that, Liz?
My phone was gonna die.
Ah, good catch.
Caught it just before.
Well, that was just Trippin' on Love, and now we have a PSA.
Hi there, it's Mickey Mouse! Oh boy! Nobody is special enough to text and drive. It's dangerous for everyone. Visit stoptextstoprex.org and learn more. Huh? See you real soon.
I'm dying.
Confirmed. Best Mickey Mouse impression.
Thanks, Jackson.
Yeah.
This is what I'm here for. That's why I'm in the band.
Thank you, Matt, for bringing that up.
Yeah.
You can thank Matt for that. I wouldn't have done that without Matt.
Real MVP. All right, now, since we are getting close to the top of the hour, or the bottom of the hour, let's do our lightning round. So for this, let's do Jackson, Jacob, Liz.
Works, yeah.
Cool. All right. And typically I'd say keep it to like a sentence or two, but if you really want to expand on something, go for it. All right, dream musical collaboration.
Alive or dead?
Dream.
It's a dream.
Oh, nice.
Chick Corea, by far.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
I'm going to say Tony Levin, bassist from King Crimson, and the periods of Liquid Tension Experiment. Yeah. Chapman Stick guy. Can't go wrong.
I'd love to take over Joe Dart's position for Wolfpack.
Yeah.
A dream.
Very cool. If you could wake up tomorrow with the ability to play any instrument, what instrument would you choose?
Guitar.
Solid.
It's a pretty cool instrument. I can fumble with it, but you know,
piano. Honestly, I can fumble with it, but it'd be great to sit down and do what Jackson does sometimes, for sure.
Definitely the drums. I would love to know that.
All very practical answers.
Yeah, you know, we all want to make a record on our own, I guess.
Either that, or we all want to be each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool too.
What's your favorite gig that you've played?
My favorite gig was Dungeon Fest 2023. Dutch Dungeon. Every year they do a nice outdoor fest every year. Usually beginning of fall time, and it's just last year it was just such a fun day. I don't think I've ever had more fun in a musical day ever. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Honestly, I'm going to go with the most recent one with the March 22nd, the Free Rock Express release show. The crowd was insane. The room was really unlike anything we've ever played before, I think. And it was just a really great time. Like, I feel like the energy between the crowd and everything we were playing was really strong. So it was really inspirational on stage. Yeah. So definitely a highlight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the release show for sure. I'm between the release show and the Valentine's Day show. I feel like it's the Valentine's Day show.
That was fun.
Since you said the release show, I'm just going to say that one. Cause
that one was fun.
That one's great. Really tight show.
What's a song that you would like to cover?
Oh, there's so many. Oh my God. Asia by Steely Dan.
God. Elliot's crying somewhere right now.
Sorry, Elliot.
I would love to cover, this is like just a random thing. I just learned the song Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic on guitar, but I learned the piano part on guitar, so it's been really fun. I've been playing that a lot, so I'd like to cover that song. Maybe if I had a little bit of a higher vocal range to sing Sting's part, that'd be nice, but
Liz can sing it.
Yeah, that's true. Liz could sing it.
There you go.
Police cover?
I think for me, definitely You Love by King Gizzard.
Oh, that's
love the bass part. Really
ambitious
fun.
Choice.
Favorite word?
Oh, wow.
That you can say on air.
Oh, I don't know. I like quibble. You know, like a small little argument.
Yeah.
I like quibble. I think that's a fun word.
I like the word perseverance.
Oh, this guy.
No, that's serious. Sometimes I'll just name a song because I write down words that I like. And I had the idea of writing a song called Perseverance long before we actually had a song written called Perseverance. So it's just a word that I like saying. It sits in my head nice. So that's a good one.
I'd say my favorite word since kindergarten has been discombobulate.
Fantastic choice. And now, because we are getting short on time, I'm going to say one word, or like, yeah, keep it quick.
Cool.
Favorite color?
Green.
Purple.
First concert you went to?
Guster.
Quiet Drive.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Are you involved with any other projects?
I'm not at the moment.
Nope, not just the dungeon sessions.
I'm in Bear Cove. They're a dungeon band as well.
Cool, I'll check them out. What movie would you want to make a soundtrack for? Or the soundtrack for?
La La Land.
The Hateful Eight.
Oh darn, I can't even think of a movie. I'd love to make Adventure Time music.
This one's a little bit longer, but what's the best advice you've ever been given?
It was actually from Jacob, and when I was first learning, I guess, how to write a song, I can't say the whole quote, but he told me to treat my voice memos like a trash can, and like every time I have an idea, just throw it there, just keep it there, just throw it, and eventually something will stick, and I'll have this whole library of all these ideas, and eventually, well, what if I put these two together? What if I make this out of this? You know, so I think that's definitely something I've taken with me.
I would say advice that I watched on the internet from Guthrie Govan, which is just to sing everything you play. Every time you're soloing, just to try to sing every single note and kind of make those notes match. I feel like it just makes my understanding of the fretboard and of my soloing much better.
Oh, this is a silly one. If you find a toilet in your dream, do not use it.
That's good advice. And, you know, bless whoever told you that. And last but not least, if you could be any kind of tree, what kind of tree would you be?
I would like to be a pine tree, because even in the winter, they stay green year-round, and my favorite color is green.
So. Mm-hmm.
I'd say a palm tree. They're good climates. That makes me happy.
I think I'd be a redwood. Redwoods are cool.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for coming in and joining me. This is Free Rock.
Yeah.
Everyone go check them out. I'm Mellow Max, and you've been listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Stick around for On the Town with Mikey D, all local music for 3 hours.
Woo! Thanks, Max.